before us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
You overcome, you overcome. Worship. He loves it when we offer worship on the altar of sacrifice. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice. This morning I'd like to read Psalm 34. This scripture has put a smile on my face probably more times than I could count. When I feel down or depressed sometimes, I'll read Psalm 34. And there's many scriptures you could read that is probably you would call your favorite one that would kind of get you out of the mully grubs, so to speak. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us all exalt his name together.
Amen.
You can't do that too much. If you keep exalting and being grateful and being thankful and loving the Lord, you'll get out of the mully grubs. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. Fear is a liar. There's a song out that says, fear is a liar.
Right?
Say, they looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Not just some, but all. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I thought yesterday about the winds that were blowing, and I thought about the winds of Pentecost, and I thought about the rushing mighty wind, and the Lord wants to pour out his spirit in the latter rain, and made me think about how awesome and mighty the day of Pentecost says in Acts, the second chapter, as a rushing mighty wind. Yesterday was a mighty wind. It said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear God, you're stupid. That's maybe offensive, but if you don't have some fear of God, I've seen a lot of posts in recent times that there's not enough preaching about hell is hot and eternity is long and sin it will send you to that place. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life? I kind of like living. I desire life, and God wants to give us eternal life, not to be taken lightly. And loveth many days that he may see good. Keep ye thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and your ears are open unto their cry. Sometimes we come to church, we cry, we worship, we sacrifice, we love, we give, we go home. But are we changed when we leave?
You may be seated if you'd like.
The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. the weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, a war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken.
Began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
Thank you.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Some God, who Lord you are,
what a God you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hope for the nations, Father of every generation. People everywhere, stand and declare He's a mighty God, a mighty God. Hope for the nations, Father of every generation. People everywhere, stand and declare He's a mighty God. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hope for the nations, Father of every generation. People everywhere, stand and declare He's a mighty God, a mighty God. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation. People everywhere, stand and declare He's a mighty God. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. What a Lord you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Song we sing, what a mighty God. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. You believe we serve a mighty God this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Do want to say thank you to all those that opened their home for the small group sessions last night. A group that I was able to be a part of over at Brother Sister Kellum's home. Younger Kellum, we had a great time together. Just wonderful food, a wonderful fellowship. Just a lot of fun. And just we need those things. We need those times together where we are just rubbing shoulders with one another and spending time in one another's presence and just enjoying some good, wholesome fellowship together. And so we thank you for those. Thank you, Brother and Sister Graham, for continuing to be faithful and setting those up, organizing that. I did say we kind of give you a precursor. Next year, as we set these up and implement them, we're trying to do one every quarter to try to get more participation and to kind of lean upon you as pastor to, if you're not getting involved in these things, to get involved in these things. We're going to move them to Sunday night, and they're going to be a part of our Sunday night miscellaneous activities. And so that way we just, maybe there's a little bit more expectation, maybe a little more of an onus upon getting you there and getting you a part of, because we need this. We need this fellowship and this time together with one another. It's good for us. It strengthens us. And so we want to continue to do that. So looking forward to 2019, we will move them from a Saturday evening to the Sunday evening in hopes of getting more participation in those types of activities. A great time to bring other people. Great time to bring friends. Family members maybe that normally might not come to a service, just to get them around us, interacting with us, seeing that we're normal. We like to have a good time, good wholesome fun, and so we encourage you in that. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. Let's remember Sister Rachel Wallace. She has been had quite a bit of health issues here lately. She's home this morning. Sister Connie's there with her. She's very weak, battling a fever, dealing with kidney stone, pneumonia, just a lot of issues there. So let's lift up Sister Rachel Wallace before the Lord in prayer. Also the Sierra family, all of them. Camilla's just getting over pneumonia, but now Chris, Bo, and little Jocelyn have pneumonia. And so it seems to be going around for some reason here in the area. So let's lift them up before the Lord. I know Sister Chris has a lot in her job that is expected of her in the next week or so. And so she really needs a healing touch from God. So let's lift her up before the Lord. Let's pray for Sister Grimm as she's recovering from knee surgery. And she's limping her way up the stairs right now into the sanctuary, but she's doing good. That's good to see. People who are faithful to the house of God and could have a valid excuse for staying home, but she's here. And that's to be commended. Thank you, Sister Graham, for making the effort. We want to continue to pray for you and your recovery there. Sister Davis also believe she has strep, and so she's not able to be here this morning. So let's lift her up before the Lord. Sister Graham. No, I did not. Thank you. Yes, Sister Sister Jane as well. I believe she had kidney stone as well. Just not doing good. So let's lift her up before the Lord. Thank you. I did receive a text from her. Why don't you stand to your feet? It's always proper, it's always right as we go to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to be anointed and prayed for, you could come forward and we'll anoint and pray for you. Sister Kelly? Yes, continue to remember to pray for Johnny Adkins, certainly. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful that we can come to you in our time of need to lift our prayers and requests before you, knowing that you're able to work in every situation, every circumstance. Lord, I know there are some here this morning who are not 100% in body, God, and I thank you, Lord, that they have made it an effort, made the effort to be here, to be faithful to your house, Lord, and I pray that you would honor that effort, God, and that faithfulness to heal, God, let recovery come quickly, Lord, for Sister Davis, God, we ask that you would lift her up, God, give her a healing touch, God, for Sister Rachel Wallace, God, Johnny Adkins, Lord, for those, God, who are not able to be here this morning, God, we know that you're able, Sister Doris, God, and all those, God, who are not able to be here for a reason of sickness, Lord, we lift them up before you in prayer, God, believing and trusting in your power to work, God, for the Sierra families, they're all battling pneumonia. God, you are a healer of every situation and circumstance, and we believe in you, God. We trust in you, God. How we love you, Jesus. How we love you, Jesus. You are so good, God. You are so good. Touch, minister, move these situations, these circumstances, God. We're not fail to give you glory, to testify of your goodness, God, of your grace and your mercy, of your truth, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Oh, lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands towards heaven right now? How we need you, Jesus. How we need your Spirit to intervene in our lives. To do what only you can do, God. Let's walk by faith and not by sight, believing and trusting in your power, God, to do the impossible. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you're grabbing your Bibles, to remind you, tonight, 6 o'clock, gathering together, an opportunity to minister to one another, strengthen one another. Other announcements scrolling on the screen behind us during service and between service, letting you know when things are happening. Just a lot going on. Do want to remind you, next Sunday night, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night, we will be using that Sunday evening for setup for the harvest party that we have here on Halloween. A very big event for this church, as we serve anywhere from 200 to 300 people in the community who come by to get a hot bowl of soup and a little bit of candy and just a little bit of love, hopefully from the church family here at First Apostolic Church. And so we will be setting that up. Just a lot going on here in the next few weeks, but please look on Bree's calendar. We have changed the Ladies Prayer International from a Monday to a Saturday. A Saturday morning, you're able to come, ladies, and pray beginning at 9 o'clock. And then they, if you want to gather together for a breakfast meal together, purely voluntary, but another time to fellowship and interact with one another. Other events on the calendar and on the announcements. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul, writing the church at Corinth, says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Came to you, I came declaring the testimony of God. I came preaching the gospel unto you, but I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come with excellency of speech. I just came to declare unto you Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. And I did so in demonstration. I did so that you would know, so that your faith would be built up, and that you would believe the same God that has the power to demonstrate in healings and miracles and wonders is the same God who has the power to save. I'm thankful for the miracles. I'm thankful for the healings. I'm thankful for the demonstrations. But I'm also, if that's all I have, it wouldn't be good enough to make heaven my home. I'm thankful for a God who always and has the power to save. The power of God unto salvation, the Bible says. I'm thankful for the power of God. Are you thankful this morning for the power of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands in the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. the power of God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. A born-again, Holy Ghost-filled church. But also a church that struggled, as we all do, with the issue of carnality. They were in that fight that we're all in, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They, as a congregation of believers, they were filled with the spirit. They were born again believers, but they were struggling at times with certain things. They were dealing, as we all do, with issues. While Paul remained at Ephesus, he received word of various problems and contentions that were arising from within the saints, the church at Corinth. So in Paul's opening address to the church at Corinth, he does not berate them for their divisions. Catch that. He doesn't spend time at the onset detailing all the stuff that has been brought to his attention. He doesn't at the onset decide that he would name their sins one by one. What he does at the onset is he starts reminding them of their beginning. He starts reminding them of how it started. He starts reminding them of that born-again experience. He reminds them of how at their inception it was based upon the power of the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. How it was the gospel that got in them. It was the gospel that they heeded and that they paid attention to. And how that God had used them as a body of believers to reach others with that same gospel. God had worked in their life. God had done things in them. And Paul furthermore said, listen, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you in excellency of speech. I just came with a simple message. What started it all for you guys, what was the beginning of what is a beautiful thing in Christ, was just preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice when we spend so much time doing other things, and not that there are not other principles, if you will, and other things that we should address, but we should never neglect on a very frequent basis to bring back to our remembrance the importance of Calvary, the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus Christ died for us, and that He was buried, then He rose again, that you and I might live a resurrected life. This, the Apostle Paul says, is of the utmost importance. I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came with demonstration of spirit and power. And I did this so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You wouldn't turn aside and look to men and their wisdom as to being the thing that's going to keep you going, because the same thing that got you going is the same thing that's going to keep you going. It is demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he says, I didn't come to you with flowery words, if you will. I just came declaring the testimony of God. I just came telling you. And I have no doubt that Paul gave his own personal testimony about what God had done in his life. How that at the beginning he had persecuted the church, and how that he had spent thinking he was doing right. Thinking that he was righteous. And finding those that were in the way, and finding those that were following after this Jesus, and making sure that they were delivered up and persecuted for practicing their faith. He was zealous, thought he was doing right. And I have no doubt that many of the churches that were established throughout Asia Minor and through all the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, I doubt that there was not one of them that did not hear his own personal testimony of how God, while he was on the donkey on the way to Damascus, how that God, with a bright light that shined from heaven, knocked him from off of his mount. And spoke to him
from the heavens. When Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he tells of his own conversion, how that he was blind for 3 days, but Ananias came and prayed for him, and there were, as it were, scales that fell from his eyes, and he began to see. And then how he went out into the wilderness, and for 3 years he just was there, and learning of God and being taught of the Spirit. So when he comes to Corinth, it's not fresh with a seminary degree. It's not coming off time just sitting at the feet of Gamaliel and learning about the law. No, the Apostle Paul is coming in the power of the Spirit. He's coming as a product of his own conversion in his walk with Christ. He is coming telling them, declaring the testimony of God, what God has done for him. He wants them to know that that power of God, he is displaying in demonstration, that power of God that's being manifested in his own life is a power that they need to get back to. It's a power of demonstration in spirit that I dare say we are lacking in our churches today. There's another side to that power. There's another side to that demonstration, which I think we don't readily see, or maybe we see it, but we don't understand what it is. Or we don't see it for what it is. I want the miracles. Don't get me wrong. I want the demonstrations of the Spirit, where we come in and the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and there's faith and there's healing and there's all these things that are manifest in our midst. And please understand, I want that. I yearn for that. I long for that. I want demonstration of the power of God in those instantaneous moments, or in those times when people come and they're immediately delivered. I want to see that again. I want that a part of our every coming together, if you will. And we should applaud that, and we should want that, and we should desire that. Let's understand this a little bit more. That demonstration and that power, those healings that were done and those miracles that were performed, understand, they're to get the attention and they're to instill in us a faith. They're to get us to believe that the same God who can heal us and deliver us is the same God who can save us. Now, understand, we can ill afford to start relying on other things besides demonstration of spirit and power. There's not enough self-help books, and there's not enough motivational speeches to save you and I. It takes demonstration of the Spirit. It takes the power of God. But it's got to be in balance. And here's the thing that I want to stress this morning is we could have all that, and we could have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. We could have instantaneous healing, and we could even have resurrections from the dead, and all those things are well and good. But all of those things pale in comparison to the power of God working in someone's life on a day-to-day basis, saving and sanctifying them. What good is it if someone is healed of a terminal illness, but they never get their heart right with God, and they never come before Him and submit their lives to Him? Let me understand, it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, I love all the healings, and I love the miracles, but I also understand that I'm looking at a miracle right there in Elder Brother Kellum. I'm looking at a miracle back there. And over there and down here, there's miracles in this place, relevance to an understanding of the power of God. And I know we look at scriptures, and I want to see these. Mark 16, 15 through 20, and he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Where were all the amens? See, that's where we've lost the balance. We love the power of God unto salvation, and we need that. And it's powerful, and it's awesome, but we also need the signs. It needs to be a balance. We need those things to happen. We need people to come forth who are sick, and when we lay hands on them, they instantly recover. We need that. We need the balance of both at work in the church. We don't forsake one for the other. We don't become all about signs and miracles and all about wonders without the Word. The Word is confirmed with signs following. Don't believe me? Let's read on. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. When he ascended up into heaven, the Bible said they went forth and preached everywhere. What did they preach? They didn't have the New Testament, folks. What did they preach? They preached their experience with Jesus. What did they preach? They preached the miracles that they saw. What happened? They lay hands on the sick and they recovered. And the Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And herein, if you will, lies the problem. We're preaching everywhere. We need more signs following. But let me take it a step further. Some of those signs that follow, we need to understand, are the power of God unto salvation. Some of those signs are just not gifts of the Spirit in operation. Yes, that's part of it. Some of the signs are just not instantaneous healing. Yes, that's part of it. Some of the signs are not just deliverance. Yes, that's part of it. Sometimes there's an immediate deliverance, and then sometimes there's a progressive deliverance. Let me ask you this. And I'm not asking you to quantify. I'm not. But we need to understand this. There's such thing as someone coming to the altar and immediately being delivered from an addiction. But then there's also someone who comes time after time and they're faith after faith and they're walking and they're trying and before long they're brought out and before long they are delivered. There's both. And we don't forsake one for the other. We recognize that it's all the power of God. The same power that instantly delivered someone or instantly healed someone from a disease is the same power that can heal someone from hard-heartedness. It's just the same power that caused someone that delivered them from going and doing certain things is the same power that can take someone into a deeper walk and relationship with Him. The power of God. We need to understand that even though, catch this, and I'm not making excuses and I'm not demeaning, but even though we may come in on a Sunday morning and we may not see anybody healed physically and we may not see anybody's sight restored or anybody's deaf ear unstopped and we may not see anybody receive the Holy Ghost in the altar, do not think for one moment that the power of God is not at work. Do not think for one moment that there might be somebody in the pew struggling with something and in that moment God gives them victory, and though they never stood to testify about it, the power of God was working. Many of us here this morning are living proof of the power of God. I'm not asking you to quantify, but what's better, someone to be resurrected from the dead, or someone to be resurrected from an entire life of sin. Someone who used to do all this stuff and be a part of this and live a life that is so the way of the world and so immoral, and now someone who's now living a life that is pleasing unto God. They're not mistake free and they're not perfect, but the power of God is still working in their life, and they're still coming to church, and they're still lifting their hands, and they're still singing. That's the power of God. Here's the thing. It comes to the people of it, and I realize I am preaching to a body of believers, born-again believers. When it comes to this world and what they're looking for, they're not looking for more information. They're not even looking for excellency of speech. They're not looking for your wisdom or my wisdom. What they're truly looking for is demonstration. Their earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Understanding that what they're waiting on is demonstration. What they're waiting on are signs following. Why? Because it's going to give them the faith to believe. It's going to give them the faith to understand that same God that does that in that miraculous moment is the same God who can keep me from moment to moment to moment to moment. The same God that saved me at an altar is the same God who's sanctifying me every day, who's leading me in a life that is lived for Him. It's that power of God unto salvation. It is that power of God that I should be living out in my everyday life, being an example in word and deed. How do you do what you do? How do you live how you live? I tell you, by the power of God. You want to know how I do what I do? It's the power of God. You want to know how I... It's not me. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that... When it comes to me and my ability, I can't be that. But I give glory to the power of God. I give glory that the power of God is still working in my life. That I'm still submitting myself unto Him. And He's changing me. See, I draw your attention to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. A lot of times we stop there. Look at the next verse. And remember, when it was originally written, there was no division of verses. And so the thought continues. And the next verse says this, for therein, in what? The power of God unto salvation. For therein, in that power of God unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What I believed yesterday, I hope is stronger today and will be stronger tomorrow. From faith to faith. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God to save ourselves from this untoward generation. It is the power of God to be living in a world that is increasingly evil. It's the power of God to still stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the power of God to live from faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. When I walk on that workplace and I don't do what they do and I don't talk how they talk, guess what I'm revealing? I'm revealing the power of God under righteousness. I'm revealing that there's still some people of the name who are walking faith by faith. I'm revealing to the world around about me. The devil tries and attempts to persuade and tempt us and offers opportunity, and we stay steadfast and we stay on the straight and narrow, it's revealing unto him that there's still a greater power. It's revealing unto all the darkness and all the forces of evil, there's a power of God that's greater. Endeavoring in my everyday life to live out that power, to display in what I do, in how I live, that the power of God is still at work, that the power of God is still working in my life, that the power of God is still working in people to save them. Yes, I want more of those manifestations. I want more of those instantaneous demonstrations. I want more of those. But not at neglect of everyday salvation, of everyday living for him. It's a balance. I want both, God. I want to be able to live faith by faith. I want to be changed into your image from glory to glory. I want that same power working in my life, that same power that I submitted to when I received the baptism of the Spirit. I want that same power working in my everyday life. I want that same power revealed. And so, yes, when I walk on the workplace and someone's complaining, I haven't felt good all week, I don't know if I can make it through today, hey, do you mind if I just pray for you a little bit, and you put a hand on the shoulder in the name of Jesus? I pray for my coworker. Let the sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you about inviting someone to church after that experience, when all of a sudden, hey, I feel a lot better now. Hey, you want to know how that happens? It's the power of God. You want to see that on display in a mighty way? I got some place you need to go with me, and together we'll see the power of God. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. It is the balance. There's that power of God working not only in miracles and signs following and wonders, and also that same power of God sustaining, sanctifying. And I want them both present in the life. I want them both present in the church. We need both. We need both. We need not forsake one for the other. Lord, I want to see miracles. Lord, let me also understand that I am seeing miracles. Catch it? Lord, I want to see wonders, but let me also understand that I'm seeing wonders. Lord, I want to see instantaneous deliverance, but Lord, let me also see that I'm seeing deliverance as you are delivering us every day of our lives from the forces of evil, that you are delivering us out of temptation, that Lord, you are helping us every day of our lives. Lord, help me. I want to see both. I want to see demonstration of the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, listen, it's both. Same power causing them to take handkerchiefs from off my body and take them to other people and lay it upon them and they would be healed. It's the same power. It's the same power that causes me to keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. It's the same power. The same power caused me to go down to the young man who fell asleep while he was preaching. Fell out of the window, went down and was dead, and the Apostle Paul came down and laid his hands upon him, and he revived and resurrected. That same power is there when I preach to people who are lost in sin, and they're resurrected to a new life in Christ. It's the exact same power. So if I can believe in the power of God to save me on a day-by-day basis, I can believe in the power of God to heal me from hurts and brokenness and abuses and emotional things. I can believe in that same power of God to do those things. Little by little, day by day, experience by experience, glory to glory. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. I can also believe in that same power of God to take someone who's been strung out and addicted and come and lay it upon the altar and immediately be delivered. It's the exact same power. I don't know about you, but I want it. I want it. In my everyday life, in my everyday living, in my everyday devotion, in my everyday endeavoring to live for Him, I want it. I also want it in helping other people to see and to understand and believe. Lord Jesus, we love You. These altars are open. Take opportunity to spend some time, God, that I would understand more about Your power, God. Same power working in me, the same power, if I would submit and allow it to, will change me. Will change me into Your image from glory to glory. That same power is available. You see, Jesus revealed the greatest power of God. Okay, just while you're coming, listen to this. Jesus revealed the greatest power of God. It wasn't when He raised Lazarus from the grave. It wasn't when He healed the lepers. It wasn't when He touched the son of the widow of Nain. The funeral procession and He set up. It wasn't when He went in and the little girl, all those around said she was dead. And He said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And she rose up. All those were demonstrations without a doubt. Catch this. He stuck His fingers in the ears of the deaf man and said, "Be thou opened." And immediately His ears were unstopped and He heard. He made little balls of clay, if you will, from spitting on the ground and rubbing it in the man's eyes, and created, if you will, little eyeballs by which the man could see. Great demonstrations. Let me tell you what the greatest demonstration was of Jesus. That every day He lived, He never made a mistake. That same power of God that worked through Him to heal and to raise up and to resurrect, that same power of God was upon His life, and He never offended in any one point of the law. And He stood there as they made accusations and they lied about Him, and He opened not His mouth, and He hung there between heaven and earth and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was the greatest example of the power of God working in a life. The every day by day by day, living it out in His existence. The every day living as an example of the power of God. Oh, let it be in my life. Let it be displayed in my life, God. I want both. I want the day to day. I want the from glory to glory. And I want to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want the other signs as well, God. It's the same power of God.
He's awesome. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I am weakened.
Forever He will reign. My God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
It's the power of God.
From the rain.
Power of God.
My God is awesome. Heals me when I.
been weakened, forever he will reign. My God is awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
All around me here in this service.
Awesome.
I see miracles. I see wonders.
My God is awesome.
And my brother and my sister, how God has done in their life, and how God has delivered them, how God has saved them. It's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes I am healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. Grace is why I'm living. Praise his holy name.
If you need a miracle in your life, the power of God is here. If you need a healing, the power of God is here. If you're sick in your body, the power of God is here.
Oh, yes, he is.
Awesome. My God.
The same God that can heal physical sickness is the same God who can heal mental sickness.
Awesome.
It's the power of God. Why don't you take a moment and lay your hand on another miracle? Why don't you reach over and lay your hand on a brother and thank God for the miracle that is your brother? Thank God for the wonder that he is your brother, your sister. He's walking beside you, faith to faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith.
He's great, he's great, he's great, he's great, he's great, he's great.
Lord, I'm so thankful. Will eyes. Every time I walk into this place, I see evidence of your power. I look into the eyes of my brother. I shake hands with my sister. I'm shaking hands with a miracle. Let me stand in awe of you. What you've done in the heart and the life, I can only attribute to the power of God. How you've changed. How they've become a new creature and all things are becoming new. I stand in amazement. You are mighty. When their family history says they should be somewhere else and doing other things. And their background and their childhood, for all intents and purposes, should have them in a totally different place. They're here. And they're lifting their hands and they're worshiping you and they're calling upon your name. It's a miracle. I stand in awe of you. That's why I tell
testimonies are so powerful. That's why we're made overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony, because they reveal the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. For you are great. You do miracles
so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great.
Be grateful for the power of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great. You do miracles so great.
Please don't take what I'm about to say as in any way, shape, or form being arrogant or prideful. The Bible does give me license. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The other day I fielded a phone call from somebody at one of my children's schools. We were setting up a meeting, and she said, I won't say which kid it is, they'll get a big head, but Jesus, it is such a joy having them in my class. He said, they're so kind to the other classmates, and so obedient and compliant. And I know she maybe wanted to attribute that to good parenting, but what I recognize is almost every night, and many mornings before they go off to school, one of the things we pray, God, help them be kind to their classmates and obedient to their teachers. What I know, it's the power of God.
Yes. Right, right.
It's the power of God that's walking with them in the halls and helping them in their classes.
Right.
Lord, don't help me miss the miracles. Help me not to miss the miracles. Rather, help me see and wonder in awe and amazement at your word. It's your power. One more time, why don't you lift your hands? Help me to be grateful, God, to see the miracles that surround my life every day. Help me to be grateful, God. Help me to attribute it to nothing else than your power at work in the life, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How I love you, Savior. Your power at work in the life, making the difference every day. Every day. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Go in the power of God. Make a difference in the world in which you live. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.